Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Yes, sir, just gone 8:46 Central African time at the time of the morning where we join a firebrand, someone that's loved by George Galloway, the Member of Parliament and the leader of the NFP, our very own Ahmad Manzoor Sheikh Imam. Ahmad, how are you doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning, Ahmad?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, mashallah. Day in the city of Cape Town, the blue sky is all out. So, Cape Townians will be enjoying a great day on the seaside now, the beach. All right, let's have a look what we've got latest news. First of all, I don't know if you've seen the clip of the FIFA president and the statement that he makes that, you know, when he says that Europe should be the last one, they're talking about morals. That's a nice one. And he says that it'll take them 3,000 years, you know, for all the wrongs that they have actually done when they were criticizing Qatar with their foreign nationals, particularly building the stadiums and things. But yeah, so it's good that it is coming from some of these people, influential people. Perhaps it'll get more and more people to get a better understanding of what the world is all about. National Commissioner is raising concerns about the propaganda in the media, which says that senior police officials or high ranking are not South African citizens. And the one in charge of human resource, actually, they've just proven that she is. She was born in Belcombe, but there's many others like that. But there seems to be some dirty tricks campaign that's going on, it seems like, in the police force. So just look at how unstable the management at the police in South Africa is it, and what's making it very difficult to concentrate on combating crime. Now, the unions are rejecting even the 7.5% offer, and yet the 7.5% offer means, Brother Shepherd, 700 billion rand a year in the country will be spent in the public sector wage bill. Look at that, 700 billion. And they are rejecting that as well. Stage 4 load shedding is once again been introduced by Eskom. And Zuma takes lashes at Cyril Ramaphosa when Cyril Ramaphosa says about the wasted years under the presidency of Jacob Zuma. And he talks about that even when they said, and some of the things that he's introduced, first of all, the success of BRICS, which is making us more self-sufficient, not relying on the West. Number two, he talks about when they said they had no money, he still went ahead and introduced free education. And then thirdly, of course, it's the issue of the ocean economy, you know, which all he says were under his team. So it's not a case of that there's been no success, there's been a lot. But look at this, hypocrisy at its highest level. Can you imagine? Coca-Cola, who are the sponsors of COP27, right, Brother Shavit? And what are they? They are the biggest polluters in the world. How do you like this? And they are sponsoring COP27. Now, where does this thing come from, really? I mean, but yet, so it clearly indicates that we say something and we do something else. Of course, there's been a survey or some research done in the Western Cape currently on labor issues, and they found that most employers in the Western Cape are not compliant when it comes to labor legislation. In fact, only 43.46% of them are compliant. Yeah, these are just some of the things that's actually making headlines.
Well, I'm looking at things here, Ahmad. It says, AFRI Forum says, the South African Human Rights Council must deliver on the promise to take Malema to equality court over hate speech. Now, it seems as if Julius Malema, when it comes to kill the boo, kill the farmer, kill, kill, he says kill, kill, kill is a part of a revolutionary term. Kill is kill. I mean, there's murder all around them. This farm murders are not being reported and so forth. Give us your viewpoint on this, perhaps Juju is getting away literally with hate speech.
Well, let me say this, Brother Shepherd, that I mean, my observation, the South African Human Rights Commission is very selective when it comes to these issues. And there's no doubt about it that in what Julius is saying, it is hate speech. You are actually encouraging and enticing people to kill the whites. And yet, if it was the other way around, that if a member of the white community said must kill blacks, I can tell you now the country will be buzzing with Twitter, all forms of social media, mainstream media. Everybody would be buzzing. And you'll hear the South African Human Rights Commission very vocal about it. That is my observation out of personal experience as well. So it's very unfortunate that we have institutions that are here to protect the rights, constitutional rights of our people, that are very selective when it comes to these kinds of things. So these institutions, for me, leave a lot to be desired, and a lot of work needs to be done. And the question I think you need to ask is, what is the purpose of this? What were they introduced for? Is it to protect the interest of a few at the expense of the others? That's what it seems to be like. I mean, Julia seems to be getting away with this thing again and again and again. And it's not helping the cause. It's not helping to unite South Africa. Really, it is not. And you know, politicians, they will create this divide and rule in just to be relevant and to score points. That's what it is all about. And you've heard, you know, the politicians will do anything. You can see they are talking about extending this grant to 2024 because it's election year now. The social relief distress grant. They want to do it not because we can afford it. No, they want to do it because it's election. So politicians get away with murder in this country, to be honest with you. And it's true that, you know, when you say things of this nature, but you are creating some kind of hatred amongst people, racial tension and hatred in a country that's wanting to talk about a rainbow nation that wants to go forward. They say the country belongs to all in it. What is the ANC doing as a government in terms of their freedom charter to protect the interest of everybody? No, they're not doing it. So this is the problem we're sitting with, and Julius gets away with it, and when you get away with it, in fact, he likes the media attention around it. It's making him more popular. You know, what makes them popular is to break the chairs and things in parliament and disrupt the house, and these things make them more popular. It works in the minds of youngsters. And that is why I say it is the quality of education that we are producing that is even preventing the youth of today from thinking beyond their noses. You know, they tend to fall into this trap. But I'm glad to announce that I am advised that many, many of them, the EFF itself, there are many of them leaving the EFF, youth that are becoming disgruntled. There are those that are being able to see exactly what is going on in their party. And, it's while I do appreciate some of the things that they do, because it looks like with the government of today, you need to be arrogant and rude to get a message across to them, because this arrogance that they have is a problem for us. You know, you can see even on the issue of the unisex toilets that they're talking about, you know, because they have a majority, they do as and what they want to. So, yeah.
Yeah, Ahmad, then, you know, we talk about all the parties. We notice that John Steenhuisen from the DA, he says, our party firmly back to winning ways. Is the DA firmly back to winning ways, Ahmad?
Nothing. Well, let's put it to you this way, you know. Again, that's politics. On the ground, whether that is really the case, I don't know. But the recent by-elections gives another story. But, I think psychologically it works on the minds of people when you say that. Remember that a lot of the votes that were taken away by the DA was taken away by the Freedom Front. So they need to compete with the Freedom Front to get most of their votes back. Yeah, that's what they must see. So they must target that particular market. So why they are making that statement? For me, it is because they are just trying to influence the people on the ground. But I can tell you now that I think some of these parties have reached their maximum in terms of support that they can get. And they can only get support in the collapse of other parties right now. And I think more and more people in the country are becoming disgruntled and may decide not to vote. But I guess, you know, that's politics. Politicians can say anything, you know, in order to garner support on the ground.
Ahmed, I'm looking at a message from Ghafoor. He says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Manzoor Sheikh Imam. I know you from Likey days. I played some soccer with you. Hey, I don't know where Ghafoor played with you. But he says, here in Chatsworth, it was Raj Bansi that ruled. I can tell you, we were all minority front fanatics and we voted for the man. Why? Because Raj Bansi was there for us 24/7. If you phoned him at midnight, he made a plan. If there was a family from India that came to the Louis Botha airport and the nationalist government wouldn't let them in, we found Raj Bansi. He was there. Now I want to know why we have turned our back on the minority front. It's a shame. They used to deliver. We have sold our soul to the devil that is a DA. How do you respond to Ghafoor, Ahmed? He plays soccer with you. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, let me say that I think he's correct in the sense that you're not going to get another Raj Bansi in Chatsworth. You know, the current minority front is a far cry from the Raj Bansi and the way he ran that and the way he was vocal, despite some setbacks, but he was still able to stand the test of time. And yes, indeed, I think he fought for the communities. He was all, and that is what politics is about. Being available to your people day and night, that's what it is about. Although they say we also have lives, but when it comes to being a politician and a public representative, you've got to go that extra mile. And Raj Bansi certainly did that. I think Raj Bansi's downfall started when he decided to work with the ANC, particularly Tegwini. But be that as it may, you know, you're not going to be able to replace the Raj Bansi. Like I've always said in my own party, you're not going to be able to replace anybody in my party would VZ Magwazam CB. You can't. She was dedicated. She was passionate about what she did. She was very committed. She wanted to make a difference. And Raj Bansi was one of those persons that also fought for us. He fought at every level. Unfortunately, you know, the minority front doesn't have that at this stage. That is the unfortunate thing. But, but he was an example of a true representative of the public. You know, he's been involved in a lot of controversy. That didn't stop him. He still stood up and said, I'm going to fight for my people. And, he did that. So this is the kind of politicians that we need in the country and public representatives. So, but on the issue of the DA, Brother Shepherd, even when the minority front was there, and let us be honest about this, many members of the Indian community and the colored community always align themselves with the white parties, white organizations, for whatever reason. That is what they've done. And for that reason, they were, supporting like the DA. Even now, many of them, whether you talk about KZN or any other province, Western Cape for that matter, even the Muslim community, despite the DA making their point very clear, you know, on certain things that they oppose and things like that, we've been having difficulties with them on the issue of Palestine and many other issues. I can tell you a great percentage of our people still support the DA. Now, it is also perhaps because of fear or they find themselves more secure. And let's be honest that the DA does govern better than the others. If you look at some of the things that they're introducing in the Western Cape right now, you understand. You're not hearing about it anywhere else. You're not. I mean, tell me, what plan have you heard about Sir Itegwini for the festive season? Nothing really, you know, and it's state of lawlessness. So the corruption is rife amongst every political party, including the DA. But there is some excellence from political parties in certain areas. Some of them, or more of them, believe it's about stomach politics, it's all about money, while others are there to make a difference in the lives of the people. But whatever it is, it's the people on the ground that make that decision, who you want to represent you, what caliber of person that you want. You know, it shouldn't even be worrying about the party. You should be looking at the person themselves that can deliver, because that's what it is all about. If you can do that, you will create a better environment, or you'll create a better parliament itself, But at the moment, with the system, you know, people are just drawn into these things and they support political parties, not looking at the candidate. And that is why I say I think the electoral system in the country must change. And Brother Shepherd, before we go off, I wanted to just give a report on the issue of the head scarf story. So just let me know.
G, go for it.
Can I go ahead? Yeah. Okay. You know, after I've released a media statement, I've also done a motion in Parliament without notice, which was adopted. Nobody, fortunately, opposed it. But be that as it may, I then got in touch with the minister after sending him correspondence. He called me from Indonesia. We've had a chat. And he was unhappy about what was happening, and he agreed to go with me to the airports company. Yeah, they went through the video footages and they were satisfied. I'm not confirming that because I haven't spoken to them, but I have been invited with the minister and airports company. So we are going to go there, sit and look at some video footages to establish whether it's just the Muslim woman that are being targeted. But according to her, that anybody that's wearing anything on the head and things, they do search them. They are supposed to check. And every number, certain number, you know, and they can't give you exact numbers for, you know, to avoid criminal activity. They search, and sometimes, you know, you'll find that the person with the headscarf might be that number 8 or 10 or whatever it is. But apparently the attorneys that accompanied the complainants are satisfied. Like I said, I have not verified that, but I'm going to go to the airport and have a look at the video footage with airports company CEO and minister to confirm that. At this stage, they are saying that they do agree that there's a weakness when it comes to staff, workshop and training. They will be doing that. They are working on that as well. But very importantly, they're giving us the assurance that it is not only the Muslim women that are being targeted, whether it is nuns, whether it is anybody they say that are coming in with any form. They always getting to check them up. And yeah, it is not their policy to target any particular person. And, you know, that's the assurance they're giving. But let me go there. I want to see firsthand the video footage because hearsay is not good enough. But there also appears to be some allegations that some of us are attempting to want to sue the state for financial recourse. Now, I don't know where that comes in from, but it appears that's what the intention is. But I'm told that the attorneys that went there had distanced himself from anything to do with that. So that's where we are at the moment. I will give a report back once I have gone and viewed some of the video footage, and particularly the incidents that happened on that day, and a couple others to just check to confirm that, in fact, they're not targeting just Muslim women.
Ahmed, the full marks to you for that, and Allah bless you now and forever for that. You are hands-on, you know, taking it at the highest level, and alhamdulillah, getting it investigated. And as you said, you even read my mind there. I wanted to ask you about what about the you know, the nuns in the habits and so forth. And as you said, yeah, they do it to everyone. But we like to see footage of where they're actually searching a nun or a padre or a Yahud or a Yahudi priest with his big topi and maybe with a big cap with a kippah on and all that. You know, as you said, the proof is in the footage that they have. Ahmad, your parting words this morning before we let you go?
Well, Brother Shepherd, I think if you saw the video of the attacks, particularly on Muslim homes, and particularly at times when our brothers and our sisters are leaving for Salah in the morning, and you know, those homes seem to be becoming a target by criminals. And you saw one of our masajids the other day, I think it's in Johannesburg, where the musallis were attacked and robbed. It also tells you that when you're going to these places, rather carry very little with you. leave your cell phones and everything at home. I know it's difficult for some of us, but we need to do that because otherwise you become a target. Perhaps security is one of the routes to go, but it's not good enough, you know, because no matter what security put these people, overpower them. But very importantly, keep your places secure. And more importantly, during the mornings when you're leaving home to go for Fajr Salah, and, you know, they observing and then they tend to get in, make sure your gates are locked and things, make sure the families are secure when you're leaving. But we need to, we're living in a very difficult situation, you know, trying to live a normal life in an abnormal society. And you can see that South African police services is in a crisis even at a management level. So you can't rely on them for a safer and secure environment that is enshrined in the Constitution. Let us take those additional security measures, make sure that our gates are locked and things like that. And even when you're leaving, make sure that, you know, I know it might be an idea to have cameras and things so that you can, because when you're coming out, you don't know who's on the driveway, who's watching from where. Only when you come out, and that's when you become a victim. So we need to make sure that when you're driving off in the mornings and things, particularly, there's nobody close by that, you know, that's suspicious and things like that. So, yeah, you know, they wait for you to open these gates and then they come in, or when you're closing it, then they jump. So we have to be very, very careful about that. Yeah.
JazakAllah khair, Ahmed. You have a mashallah beautiful day ahead. I'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.